These are challenging times, but you don't have to navigate them alone. Welcome to How Can I Help? I'm Dr. Gail Saltz. I'm a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the New York Presbyterian Hospital, a psychoanalyst, and best-selling author. And I'm here every week to answer your most pressing questions, hopefully with understanding, insight, and advice. Stress and anxiety can make anyone feel irritable. Irritability often comes out at those closest to you, with those you trust to love you anyway, and with those that you spend the most time. That's why today, I'm answering a question I received about fighting with your boo. Everyone gets angry sometimes, since you and your partner are not clones of each other. You also cannot always agree on everything. Where there is disagreement, there will be fighting. You hope, because letting anger fester is definitely more destructive than communicating about it. Fighting is not really the problem, but how you fight can be. Not fighting at all because you've buried your anger is really the worst-case scenario. This allows hurts to fester and then come out with being passive-aggressive or with distancing yourself emotionally, otherwise known often as the cold treatment. Both will hurt your relationship. Constantly venting your anger is also suboptimal for both your relationship and for any children who are viewers of this acrimony. Arguing is an appropriate tool to discuss constructively your disagreement with your partner. But being abusive, explosive, or hurtful is not constructive. And in the end, both of you lose out. Fighting in front of your children is, generally speaking, a terrible idea. I say generally because I do think it's okay, even helpful, to see parents calmly disagree and then find a compromise and make up. This shows your children that you can love and respect someone very much, disagree with them, and find a way to resolve it, which is an ultra-important lesson. This will be valuable for them as they navigate through relationships in their own lives. On the other hand, yelling at each other, being mean or hurtful in front of the children, is generally downright terrifying for them. It leaves them scared about your love for each other and even your love for them. So no matter how angry you are, save it until you are positive you can do it calmly or away from them hearing you. Many a child has been traumatized by overhearing their parents scream and be abusive to each other. This can damage their trust and their ability to be intimate with someone later in their lives. So don't let it happen. Let's hop on to our question and see, how can I help? Dear Dr. Saltz, my boyfriend and I have started arguing with each other over what I think aren't really big deal things, like what time to leave for the airport, or who has time to run to the grocery store. Even though these arguments never blow up and generally get resolved, I feel nervous that it means we have a problem and doesn't bode well for the long term. My parents never fought, and I feel like maybe fighting means there is a terminal problem. Is this type of argument an indicator we don't belong together? No, no, and no. It is not an indicator you don't belong together. It is an indicator you're willing and able to freely give voice to differing opinions and wants, something that actually bodes well for the long-term relationship. The issue isn't that you do argue. The real question is, how do you argue? Your model, your parents, appeared not to argue to you. This means either they did not argue in front of you, or one or the other of them suppressed their opinion, their wants, and needs to join the other 100% of the time. Suppression of your own identity is not the same thing as compromise. And suppression of yourself isn't particularly healthy and rarely doable anyway. It's more likely you didn't see them disagree and that their disagreements did not become loud fights. Nonetheless, this left you with a sense that love and partnership means never arguing, which it does not. Which leads us back to, how do you argue? Arguing can be very productive for a relationship, actually, because arguing is a form of communication. Sharing your thoughts, feelings, goals, needs, and those communications can bring you closer with a greater understanding of each other, a greater empathy for each other, and a greater trust of each other. So, for example, you want to get to the airport 2 hours before flight time. He wants to get there 1 hour before. You therefore argue about which is right and when to leave. The key here is to really hear under the surface. Are you a person who gets anxious about being late and missing something? Are you a person who would rather be safe than sorry? Maybe you feel most comfortable following the rules, which the airline says is 2 hours. That's what you are actually saying. And that's what he actually needs to hear from you. He may be actually saying he hates wasting time, feeling stuck someplace unpleasant like an airport when he doesn't have to be. He finds arbitrary rules for the benefit of a monolith like an airline not only frustrating and unfair, but imposing on his own rights. Perhaps he is undaunted by a little risk. That's what you need to hear and know about him. There is no right and wrong here. The value of arguing is to hear under the surface of what time do we leave and explain what your stance means to you and why, and then understand what the other stance means, what it says about them and why. When you get a chance to understand where the other is actually coming from, it makes it much easier to compromise. Let's split the difference. Or one of you realizes that your feelings on it aren't such a big deal, but it is the type of thing that really gets to your partner. So you will go with them on it. How Can I Help with Dr. Gail Saltz? We'll be back after this short break. This is the nature of healthy arguing. And because life will throw tons of small and big obstacles at you, learning early on in your relationship how to disagree and find resolution is an important tentpole of any ongoing and especially long-term relationship. The end goal here is not who wins. It's how you both are able to feel about the resolution and what you each learn about the other, which in turn will make it more likely you'll come to a faster decision that is mutual about something of the same nature when it comes up again. When you do start to argue or disagree, try to sit calmly, state your disagreement and where it's coming from. Look at each other in the face. Each explain your view, and then if possible, each repeat back what they think the other person's view is, so it can be corrected if it's not right. This form of mirroring, as it's called, helps you to stay in touch with your partner and remain connected, even as you argue. It helps you both to stay compassionate, which decreases the likelihood your fuse will light and burn too bright. Try to explain why you feel the way you do, and try to listen to why your partner feels the way he does. Everyone doesn't have to be equally happy with the resolution, but everyone should feel heard and considered in the outcome. Neither should feel disrespected, condescended to, or disparaged. Ideally, after an argument, kind words as reminders of your care for one another are helpful to decrease insecurity. While these kinds of arguments are both normal and can even be constructive, constant arguing, or arguments that escalate to meanness, disrespect, hurting one another, or suppressing your partner altogether, are not. Frequent arguing over essential values or morals may be indicative of a long-term problem, or repetitive arguing over something where there cannot be a compromise at all, like, I want a child, I do not want any children, where you can't really compromise on half a child. But the type of arguing you describe is both normal and, handled well, can even be healthy for your relationship. I hope that was helpful. Before I finish, I'd like to give you all some tips to consider about arguing with a romantic partner. There are really strategies for optimizing your disagreements. First, it's not about who's right. Inevitably, there are two sides to any story. You are both partially right and wrong. The point is not to win the argument. The point is to find some place that both of you can accept. Two, don't generalize. When we get mad, we tend to want to attack with everything in our arsenal. So you start pulling out every old hurt and infraction your spouse has ever committed. This spins the fight out of control and fans the flames. Stick to the subject at hand and try to stay with the current issue that is causing the disagreement now. In addition, using old things told to you in confidence as a method of hurting them is really a complete no-no, as it will ruin the trust your spouse has placed in you. Three, talk early. We often don't want to be angry with our partner, so we wait until we are fuming and the problem has really worsened. The longer you wait, the harder it gets to resolve the disagreement. It also unfairly allows your partner to keep sticking their foot in it, so to speak. You know it's bugging you, but they don't, so they keep digging themselves a deeper hole that soon enough you will blow up about and attack them for. Speak up sooner when the problem starts, and it will be much easier to reach a resolution. Four, listen and respect. Nothing is more frustrating than feeling you are not heard. Let your partner know you hear what they are saying too, and you get how they are feeling. This will diffuse their anger. Try, while you listen, to stand a bit in your partner's shoes in order to understand where they are coming from. It will help you come to a resolution. Never attack the other with abuse, either physical or verbal, with meanness, with cursing, with screaming, or threatening to leave them. Treat them with the same respect you would want for yourself. Five, finishing it versus a time out. Generally speaking, it is really best to come to some sort of resolution without walking out during an argument. It can be a compromise, or it can be an agreement to disagree. Making up and reminding each other how much you really care for, respect, and love each other at the end is also important. However, if you are seeing red and fear that you will blurt out or do something that you regret, then call for a time out. Tell your partner you need a moment alone to regroup, then go do something that relieves tension for you, like jogging or a hot bath, and then go back once you feel calmer and resume the discussion. If your partner needs a timeout, respect their need for a little space and wait for their cue. Do you have a problem I can help with? If so, email me at howcanihelp@senecawomen.com. All senders remain anonymous. And listen every Friday to How Can I Help? With me, Dr. Gail Salt.